Okay, so we've got a picture up there. First of all, anyone know what film this is? This is from a film. Oh, we've got a few. George? The Martian. Very good. Has anyone seen this film? Oh, Will, did it only come out on Friday? Okay, very good. So it's not been out long. It's a film called The Martian. Anyone read the book? I believe it was a book first. Oh, Will, good job you're here. Very good. Anyway, so this is a film called The Martian, and the basic plot is there's Matt Damon, and he's on an expedition to Mars. Something goes wrong, and he gets left behind on Mars while the rest of the crew have gone. Probably various things went through his head, but one of them that's on the trailer is this. If we have the next slide up, what does he say? He says, "I've got to figure out how to grow 4 years' worth of food here on a planet where nothing grows." A slight dilemma, slight problem for him, you may imagine, and out in all good cinemas, so you can go and see it tomorrow. We're all prone to take things for granted, aren't we? To just accept that something is there and always will be there until it's not. In the words of Joni Mitchell, "You don't know what you've got. It's gone." Very good. And for us, living here in the affluent West, with our vast supermarkets, we go to the shops and there's just everything we need all the time. And sometimes we get the cheek to be irritated or annoyed if the supermarket happens to have sold out of the special low-fat cottage cheese that we like. Or maybe that's just me. But actually, those supermarket shelves don't fill up by magic, do they? We know that, and that's what we're thinking about here. At Harvest, the food that we enjoy every day and the food that fills the shelves doesn't just turn up by magic. There's a whole supply chain. The farmers who work so hard, factories and manufacturing that enables us to produce on such a vast scale, the infrastructure that carries the different food where it needs to go around the country. Then the shops, the people who put the food out of the lorries and onto the shelves for us. All those people working hard to keep us eating. And so Harvest is, of course, a good time for us to reflect on that, to remember how blessed we are, how many good gifts there are all around us, and to be grateful to all those people who work hard to feed us. But as we thought about earlier with the ball balls being hurled at Ben, if you can remember back that far, what we're thinking about is however good the farmer is, they need something to start with. Okay, even Matt Damon couldn't survive on Mars unless he had a few little bits to get him going. And so with us, for all the farmers, for all the factories, for all the shopkeepers, actually, we need something to start with. And that is why Harvest, of course, is also a good time to reflect on where things ultimately come from, that they all ultimately come from God. That's really the point of this psalm, Psalm 65, if you've got it open. It talks about God being the one, verse 6, it says, "The one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves." So it pictures creation and some of the most impressive and mighty things in creation, the towering mountains and the formidable oceans. And it says, well, those are God's mountains. Those are God's waves. And as I said at the beginning, Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And yet in the midst of this incredible world that God has made for us, with all its power and beauty and splendor, he has also set it up to provide abundantly for us exactly what we need. I'm particularly going to look at the last bit of this psalm. So verses 9 to 13, a very poetic description of a harvest. There's some great descriptions here. Verse 9 and 10, it says this, "You visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water, you provide their corn. For so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth." We're not always happy when it rains, but that soft, refreshing rain, as we sang about, is of course essential for our harvest. And we remember that God is the one who waters the earth. Verse 11 and 12 goes on, "You crown the year with your bounty, your wagon tracks overflow with abundance." That's a great phrase, isn't it? Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. If we have the next one up, Andrew. It's difficult to really get in mind what he's got, but the hard-working farmer is loading up his wagon, and he's trying to drag it home, but as he does so, it's so full of produce that things are falling out all over the place, which I think will happen when Mike tries to get all this into his car to take to Padley later in the week. That abundance. There's so much that God has provided, we can't even keep it all in the wagon. Right, the next one, verse 13. What does it say in verse 13? You've got to get into poetry for verse 13 because he's personifying the meadows and the valleys. It says this, "The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with corn. They shout and sing together for joy." So he's saying that like the fields, the meadows and the valleys, it's like they're getting dressed up in their, I was going to say Sunday best, but looking at you, maybe that's not an appropriate phrase. Joking. They're getting dressed in all their finery. They're putting on their splendor. And what is it? Well, it's the flocks and the herds, all the animals which flow over them. Or it's the grain, the abundance, the produce which blossoms forth. It's a lovely way to think about the fields and the valleys, isn't it? That they're clothed with these things. Indeed, verse 11, if we go back up to verse 11, he says, "You crown the year with your bounty." We use that phrase, don't we? The crowning achievement, to be the pinnacle of someone's life, the thing that they're looking to, the finishing touch that goes on the top. And the psalmist is saying, God, this is your world and it's so wonderful and so brilliant. And yet then, even though you've given us this world, you then crown it with your finishing touch, this abundant and incredible provision that it just keeps producing food for us. Like the jewelry that we put on, an outfit, like the cherry on the cake. God's mountains, God's waves, but it's God's harvest too. And that's what we rejoice in and praise him for today. Well, as we think about harvest, how do we respond? How do we react? Well, there's three things that I want to remind us of today. And the first is simply that, to rejoice. If we have the next one up, there we go, rejoice, thank you. Why are these fields bothering to put on their finest clothes? Well, did you see what it says at the end of verse 13? It says, "The meadows clothe themselves with flocks, the valleys deck themselves with corn." Why? They shout and sing together for joy. They're getting dressed up because they want to look their best. They want to praise the God who has created them. Now, that film, The Martian, is fiction. But there he is. He's stuck on Mars and he's got to work out how to grow food to keep him going until a rescue team can arrive. Imagine then his excitement at those first shoots that come through. Here he is in his spaceship of potato field. You imagine his excitement. If you're really in that situation where you've got nothing, the first green leaf, green shoot that pokes through the earth is a cause of great excitement. And yet we lose it, don't we? We lose that excitement. We lose that joy and excitement when we take God's gifts for granted. We just assume that the supermarkets will be full, that mum will have gone shopping, that there'll be something to eat when we get home. But maybe we need to take a leaf out of Matt Damon's book and be excited again at the produce all around us. Indeed, that's one reason why it's good for us to pray before meals. I don't know if you're in the habit of doing that. I think perhaps less people are than at one time. But it's good to pray before we eat our meals because that just acknowledges we're not taking this food for granted. We know that it comes from God. We ask him for our daily bread and indeed he provides it. So there you go. First thing to do is to rejoice in the harvest. The second thing is to share. The very fact that we've collected all this food today, and indeed the fact that we're talking about Lion's Roar and what they need, thinking about the refugees and a collection for them, all these little things around the world where there is want and suffering make us think, well, something's gone wrong. The psalm tells us that God has provided abundantly, that the wagon's overflowing, but the reality is there seem to be a whole lot of people in very desperate need, in very dire circumstances. What about them? Has God failed to provide for them? Well, no, God provides abundantly, and I'm sure you know this, that there is plenty of food in the world to go around. Our task is to share generously, to seek to do good wherever we can, to support those in need. And we do that, we share with others. But we don't share with others because we feel guilty that we've got a lot and they haven't. We share with others because we know everything comes from God. We're not well off here in Duffield in the West because we are better than others. No, rather, we have been blessed by God with all these wonderful things around us. Everything that we have, we enjoy from His good hand. So, as part of our gratitude, as part of our praise to God, in fact, we give to those in need. We rejoice, we share. Thirdly, a third thing to do this harvest time is to look to Jesus. Always a good thing to do, of course, but to look to Jesus, because God provides abundantly for our needs, but Jesus is the one who provides abundantly. And we saw this when Jesus walked the earth. I wonder if you've ever reflected on Jesus' miracles. He never does things by halves. He feeds 5,000 and he leaves 12 baskets full of food at the end. Water into wine. He doesn't just make a few bottles. He makes gallons and gallons of the stuff, and it's the best wine they've ever tasted. When he tells them to throw the nets over the other side of the boat, all the fish jump in. There's so many fish, they can't drag it to the shore. Wagons overflowing, nets overflowing. Jesus is one who provides abundantly. But why does he do those miracles? Why does he do the miracles where he shows he can give us all the food and all the drink that we need? He does it because he wants to show us he comes to do something else too. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I have come that they, the people, may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus wants to give us not abundant provision, but abundant life. Life as it was meant to be lived. And how does that work? Well, it works like this. As wonderful as the provision of harvest is, food is not our greatest need. Drink is not our greatest need. Even air is not our greatest need. Our greatest need, as sinners who've rebelled against God, is forgiveness of our sin. And wonderfully, Jesus provides that too. Have a look at verse 3 of the psalm. It says this, "When iniquities," that means our wrongdoings or our sin, "when iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions." So it's when our sin confronts us that God comes and atones for it. When he's writing that psalm, of course, the psalmist is thinking about the animal sacrifices and the way that God provides forgiveness. But as we read it, we're pointed forward to the Lord Jesus, the one who came to die, to abundantly provide the forgiveness that only he could win and that all of us so desperately need. So this harvest time, rejoice, share, and look to Jesus. Let's pray together.